is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bickney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bickney.
Y'all be listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bickney, and I've got my wife, Vicky.
Hello, Thrive family. We're back
together. And we're going to keep heading down this path of what does God say versus what the world says versus what I naturally think. It's so hard to let go of what we feel. Well, I just feel, and I just always thought.
And
I just feel.
And that comes so natural to us.
Oh, yeah.
What we think and feel. It's our go-to, usually.
And my goodness, if God had not revealed to us his inspired word, we'd be the biggest mess. If you just kept going with what you feel and what you think and what seems, you know, you hear it all the time, but I've just always felt this, so it must be right. And we live in a culture that's so convinced if you feel it and it seems natural, that must be right. Well, what is natural is that we're sinners. Mm-hmm. We're born sinners. So you got to keep in mind constantly, we're born already twisted from God's right design of us.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that verse. You probably know where it is. I don't. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death.
That's right.
And really, that's what we're talking about. When we think we know better than God, it's leading to death of relationships, death of our marriage.
It's two huge, stark contrasts. There's death on that path. And I think Vicky's right. It's not just absolute death, let's do a funeral, but it's the death of good things. It's the death of a marriage. It's the death of friendship or life. You want to breathe life into your marriage? Then find out what God's word says, not just what you feel or think or like, well, that's just not who I am. Well, yeah, I know. If Brad Bickney was still saying, I'm just going to stick with who I am, we'd still be in a really bad place, wouldn't we, babe?
Yeah.
It's seeing what God says about who I should be.
Right.
So we're looking at God's word, 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, love is patient and kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. And it is not puffed up or arrogant. But we're trying to break it down for you. You know, real change happens in specifics, as you take this big, I love to say, nobody changes in fuzzy land. Nobody changes in fuzzy land. And believe it or not, just tossing that word out there, pride, well, don't be proud. That's too fuzzy.
Yeah, you can just think, I'm not.
Yep.
Move on.
I mean, the first thought, wouldn't it be, well, don't be proud. What's your first thought?
I'm not. Right.
Well, I suspect that our listeners have that same first thought. So we're trying to break it down. And Stuart Scott has an excellent booklet that we've mentioned, but I want to mention it again. And it's titled From Pride to Humility. What I really appreciate about the Bible is it's not a book filled with don't, but it's put off, put on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be doing that. But I do want to be doing this. So it's not just be killing pride. It's be cultivating humility, which starts with renewing your mind, which also starts with figure out what the root is. And so we're giving you some manifestations of pride, and some of them might surprise you. And so today I want to give you another one.
A really good one.
Yep. Believe it or not, a proud person is very often an angry person. These are not two separate sins. These are sins that are often woven together and tangled up together. Because here's how I would say it to you. Anger is the fruit. Pride is the root that's feeding that fruit. Why does a person get angry? An angry person, and I hope you also realize this, anger can manifest itself in two different ways.
Right.
Here's how I say it in counseling. There are blower-uppers and there are clamor-uppers.
Mm-hmm.
And if I went to the dry board and I had you in a room right now, I draw a volcano and then I draw a little swirl that looks like a clam. Mm-hmm. So there are people that the way I manifest my anger is I clam up.
Right. That's more.
I'm angry at you, so I won't speak to you. Mm-hmm. I'll pout. I'll pull away. I'll cut you out of my life, and you'll have to guess what's wrong. But right. Something's wrong.
I think maybe I could be wrong. I think that's more of a woman thing. Like, I was never, when I would get angry, I wouldn't necessarily explode, but I would do the more, I'm going to pout.
Clam
I'm
up.
Going to pull yeah. away.
But there
I'm
are,
punish you.
Trust me, there are some blower yeah. upper yeah. women, because I've been in counseling with it. But it can go both ways. There are guys that are blower uppers, and there are guys that are clammer uppers. Mm-hmm. And guess what? There are combos.
Right.
Some people are like, I clam up, yeah. and then I blow up. Mm-hmm. So let me help you understand, very often, pride is what is at the root of an angry person. Because a proud person gets angry because they feel like they're entitled to something they're not getting. There's mm-hmm. something I deserve, and I'm not getting it in this moment, in this relationship. An angry person lives with a sense of entitlement, entitlement. And even as I, since this is a marriage show, let me say, guys, yes, the Bible says, wives, submit and respect your husbands. But it does not say, men, every day, be on the lookout for respect and demand. I feel like there's some guys that they wear that on their mm-hmm. shoulder,
it's
like a
so
chip
common.
On their shoulder.
Yeah.
If anything even remotely seems like disrespect,
right.
I'm all over it. You got to respect me. You got to respect me.
Right.
You got to respect me. He doesn't tell us to live every day looking for what our spouse is supposed to do and getting angry when they don't do it. We're supposed to lean into every day focused on what he calls us to do. Mm-hmm. Husbands, love your wives. And so very often, whether it's the woman, the wife, or it's the man, an angry person is a proud person. And this is not what you want to bring to the marriage. Because let me tie our past show that was about talking too much. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a verse that brings anger and words into the same verse. James chapter 1, verse 19 says this, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. In our last show, we were talking about if you talk all the time mm-hmm. and you do not care about what your spouse has to say, what they think, what they're interested in, that's pride. Well, guess what? Being quick to anger is pride. You obviously are holding on to some things that you think I deserve, I have to have, I should, you didn't. And anger is almost never the problem. It's just the tool that someone uses to bully their spouse or to intimidate them or mm-hmm. to express displeasure. You've displeased me. Thoughts on that, babe?
Yeah, I just think, like I said, I'm not like an angry person, but I think as a woman,
should
be more like, I'm going to withdraw, I'm going to pout. And that's also very hard for your spouse to figure out, like, okay, I don't
lick
even know.
My wounds.
Yeah, I don't even know how to get back in her good graces. Just, what is this going to take, 3 or 4 days? I mean, I've worked with women who, like, and this goes both ways. You're right, it's men and women that do mm-hmm. both. Like, my husband didn't talk to me for 4 days, or I didn't talk to my husband for 6 days. Like those kind of things just should not be happening mm-hmm. in a home. And it's a terrible example for your kids. Like, this is not how you work through conflict,
yeah.
you know?
And obviously we're going to get our feelings hurt. We're going
right.
to get
it happens.
Sideways, but
right.
when your spouse, because I want you to just think, we're trying to give you new ways of
tools.
Relating.
Right.
When you sense that something's off, mm-hmm. and we do sometimes, I just simply say to her, are we okay? And here's where you have a choice. If you're not honest, you're not going to get
yes.
to a better place.
Great point, Brad.
And so I appreciate that. I believe, Vicky, when I say, are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if she says, yes, listen to me. Ladies, if this is you, don't play games.
Right. We don't play games.
Don't say, oh, yeah, I'm fine. But you're not.
Right.
And then you're mad that he didn't press further in and really try to drink. He shouldn't have to really try to get you to say it. If you're not okay, so you're not okay.
Speak the truth. Yes.
So I appreciate it when I say to Vicky, are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, yeah. I'm just tired or I'm upset about one of the kids.
We've talked about in earlier shows, like a lot of things you just need to let go. But if there's something that really bothers you, even if he doesn't say, are you okay? I just look for a time and say, hey, do you have time to talk
to
something later tonight?
Well, here's how we try to lead in with it. Hey, honey, could I get your help on something?
Right.
Could I get your help on something? And so honesty is essential.
Right.
Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, we have such a horrible pattern of how we solve difficulties that I dread even heading into one. So that's why I'm not honest. Okay, I get it.
Right.
But the beginning of a new day is honesty. Mm-hmm. You will not get to a better place playing games.
And once again, and we've talked about this before in early shows, you know, if you're a part of a church community, like grab an older couple that you respect, that they have a good marriage, and say, hey, would you sit with us and work through this? That can be invaluable.
Everyone doesn't have to turn to a certified, trained counselor that costs $190 for 50 minutes.
Right.
You could benefit from a mature, godly couple
and
who knows you
them.
And share a meal together and just say, could you help us talk through some of this? All right, we're going to take a break. We're talking about how pride is what's choking out love so often in our marriage relationships, but it has so many different faces to pride that you got to be alert to different manifestations of this. When we come back, we're going to pick up another manifestation of pride.
And we'll be back with more with Pastor Brad Digney in just a moment. He just called out the connection between pride and anger. How anger is the fruit, but pride's the root. Actually, that's exactly why Fortis Plus needs to be on your smartphone and on your smart TV. Both, because you can download the app both freely to either device. Not because we're trying to add more apps to your collection, but because transformation happens through daily exposure to the truth. Think about it. Your marriage problems didn't develop overnight, did they? They developed through thousands of small moments where you chose pride over humility. You chose yourself over your spouse. And Fortis Plus gives you the opposite. We give you daily doses of biblical wisdom that slowly start to rewire those patterns. Fortis Plus is full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now, and we're adding to it every single day. We've got content on marriage and parenting, biblical manhood, biblical womanhood, biblical counseling, and it's all free. Not going to ever ask you for a credit card. We're not going to hide anything behind a paywall and say, we got you. We gave you a little bit free, but now you got to pay for the good stuff. No, it's all free from the very first day and forever. Download it right now. Go to where you download apps on your smart TV or your smartphone, or simply go to fortisplus.org. But I want to get serious for just a moment, if I can, because we're at a crossroads in Christian media. The secular relationship advice industry is worth billions, I mean billions of dollars, and they're pumping out content 24/7. They're telling people to prioritize themselves, to leave when it gets hard, and to follow their feelings. Meanwhile, ministries like us are trying desperately to counter-program the nonsense people are hearing from culture, but we're operating on a pretty shoestring budget. And so that's why we need people just like you to step in and join us as ongoing monthly gospel partners, because gospel partnership funds marriage-saving content. We get emails every week from couples who are heading for divorce until they finally heard something on Thrive that changed everything. One conversation about pride being the root of anger, one discussion about letting things go, can change everything. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're literally investing in marriages. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now. Not tomorrow, because you know you'll forget, but right now, go to FortisInstitute.org and find out what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, but only if you're faithfully giving to your local church. That's your number one giving priority. All right, well, now let's get back to Pastor Brad Digney. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Digney.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Thrive, and we're digging into what God's Word says about what it would look like to get on a different path, to move in a new direction, to even get to a better place. So many couples would love to be in a better place, but they don't know where to begin. And they don't know how to break it down into particulars. And so God's word does that for us in 1 Corinthians 13, where he tells us what love is and he tells us what love isn't. And he actually gives us 8 things that it's not, because these things will kill love. And so we've been hovering, we've tapped the brakes, and we're just spending some time right here on this. It is not puffed up. It doesn't parade itself. In other words, real love isn't arrogant. It doesn't think my thoughts are best, my way is best, my world is the world, and you should hover around me. So let me give you another manifestation of pride, because it shows up in so many different ways. Another way that pride raises its ugly head is when you just see your way of doing things, your way of viewing the world, your approach, your preferences. We all have preferences. We all have a worldview. We all have, but it's just better. It's always better than others. A proud person is almost always looking down on others and, ooh, can I say it? Gets easily disgusted and has little tolerance for differences. I got to admit, put me at the head of the list. I was so, quote, squared away with how I was living my life, how organized, how I had a calendar, what I was doing, how I made a list. I got to be honest, God showed me early in our marriage, because I'd never lived this closely at close range with someone before, I actually had a measure of disgust for anyone that wasn't doing life like me. Because see, prior to being married, I would just move on and remove people from my life that weren't doing it my way. And so
he couldn't remove me. I could not remove
sweet Vic, but I was right there at close range thinking, wow, I've never seen someone do life like this. And so, ooh, it was ugly what was going on in my heart and my head. And obviously, she felt it. She sensed that.
Right. Which was very confusing to me, because when we dated, he thought I was wonderful.
You know, so he without living together, I saw what I liked about her and chose her. But at close range, I saw the differences and I couldn't see past that. And what is even uglier is I was just, instead of saying, well, there's a different way. Mm-hmm. Wow, I could learn from that. It was literally disgust. And I think you sensed little tolerance for difference. The sooner you begin to function just like me.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very immature level of love, because that's really not love.
And if someone had asked me, are you proud? I would have said, no, I'm not proud. I'm very energetic. I'm very achievement oriented. I get a lot done. Of course, I put a spin on it that was all very virtuous and positive.
And the differences we're talking about, these aren't sin issues. These are just, once again, and this was very helpful in our counseling, a lot of what we had our wires crossed about was just preferences and thinking my way that I've always done it this way is the better way, and you need to change, and you're thinking that about me. And so we were just at an impasse, because we were both so prideful. We didn't want to back down and think, you know, this could be done a different way than the way that I've done it. And once again, like you said, it's just pride that we think we're always right about everything.
Yeah. A lot of preferences.
Yeah.
But that are not sins. But hear what we're saying. The sin that shows up in the midst of preferences is pride.
Right. This is really funny.
Yeah.
So we were just in California, and Brad was teaching at a biblical counseling conference with Stuart Scott, who actually did our counseling.
Yeah. So fun.
It was really fun.
So regularly our paths cross,
which is so
with
fun.
The guy that did our counseling in the early 90s in South Carolina.
And I always hug him and say, thank you, Stuart. Yeah. But anyway,
he's a speaker and I'm a speaker.
Right. So we went to someone's home. We were in their home. We're all biblical counselors, most of them are pastors, biblical counselors. They're there for this conference also. So I can't remember exactly the question that was asked, but I think some of them in the room had never heard our story. And so somehow we got off on our story.
Oh,
first it kind of shot me. I mean, to be honest, I'm still kind of shocked.
Well, it was a... Wasn't it
the question that they asked Stuart? Stuart was talking about when Brad and I came to
meet with him. And I hadn't thought about it, that We'd never really said to him, how do you recall your counseling of us?
Right.
But someone asked it at this meal in someone's home and said,
right.
So what do you remember? We hear Brad talk about it all yes. the time, how you counseled them. What do you remember?
So he's telling this story yeah. about when we came in. And then he says, which I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
He said, I mean, basically, they were both very strong people. Brad was very strong and Vicky was very strong.
And I could tell.
What?
I wasn't surprised by that statement, but the look on Vicky's face was like, what?
I am meek and mild, Vicky Dill Bigney. I'm just like compliant. And he said, well, first of all, they were both very strong people.
Very strong.
I'm like, hey.
And I was like, thank you. Yes, we were butting heads.
Thank you.
This was not a little wallflower.
Someone else has recognized this strong woman that I've
I know she has this outward demeanor that she's petite and gift of mercy.
I just thought that was hilarious because I've never thought of myself as some strong
But I was engaging
woman.
With a strong woman in that little trailer.
And now hopefully we're still strong in a better way. Strong.
But I still remember as Stuart was trying to bring this into view, how we're supposed to approach these differences. I'll never forget one session where he read Philippians 2. And I know I've used it in past shows, but listen to it again, where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. So there's that same word. Remember I said, I marked my Bible orange. It might be conceit. It might be arrogant. It might be proud. It might be high-minded. It might be lifted up. There's about a half a dozen or eight ways that you can say this, but here we go. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. I'm going to reveal something ugly. I literally remember sitting there in that counseling session and thinking, I had enough sense to not say it out loud, but I thought to myself, but what if she's not better? Am I supposed to pretend? Do I pretend this verse is true when it's not? What if she's not better than me?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awful? And it just shows that you can be so blind. I can honestly now today say, she's better. Because,
not in every way.
Thank you. But now we're
not
a team. Where I'm better, you didn't have that strength. But here's what's so sad. God didn't need the two of us to have the same strength.
So true. We don't.
And I see it constantly with couples. He's not going to bring together two people that are matched in their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be different. But what you end up doing is you go to war and you focus on your spouse's weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
They're not strong in that area because you are.
Right.
And so that's why he brought you together to be a team.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a sweet, sweet day. I still remember. It was almost like a lid that had to be lifted off of my world and my sad, dark, little proud heart that I began to have a dawning. Oh, my goodness. She is better. She's better with people. She loves people better. She's more compassionate. She makes people feel so special. She's a huge encourager. And I just, for the first time, began to recognize how I could apply that verse. And I've just tried to keep heading. Would you say it's true that I'll regularly tell you, oh, I learned that from you?
Yeah.
Oh, I learned that from you. Because she'll commend me sometimes now for being good with people.
Right.
And I'll quickly say to her, I learned that from you, honey. Mm. I learned that from the way I just had that conversation with them. I learned what initially was a war.
Mm-hmm.
But see, what I want you to hear is the war most often erupts because of pride.
Right.
We just can't allow differences. We don't, and we don't allow weaknesses.
Right.
Our spouses have weaknesses.
Right. We're sinners saved by grace. We're going to have weaknesses. I mean, hopefully we're working on them, but some things may change a lot. Some things may never change much, but
and so one of the ugliest manifestations of pride is you see yourself as better. It's not wrong to recognize that God gave you some strengths.
Right.
But you don't want to take that and now have almost like sunglasses you wear that everyone I look at, I see them as less and I'm better. What that usually means is you're only focused on a handful of issues, the ones that you're good at. And we just don't live in a world like
that. And anything we've been given truly is from Christ. Anything good in us, it's from Christ alone.
Yep.
And so that's what we should be boasting about, not our own strengths.
That's right. Even these strengths that you have, he gave them to you. everything that we have is a given, not a gotten. And God doesn't want you to go to war with your spouse over it. Oh, we're talking about how we could begin to thrive in a marriage instead of just watch it die. And so often it's dying at the hands of our own pride, but we don't see it because pride manifests itself in so many different ways. Begin to ask God, God, what does pride look like in me? And how does it show up in our home? And then say, God, by your grace and for your glory, I want to be killing this and to be cultivating humility.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.